Rule number 14. It's important to make a big entrance. What I saw was Joey Fields in his rolled-up pants hurrying over to Team Shawnee, tripping over his own shoelaces, which had come untied in typical Joey Fields fashion. Why can't he just wear Velcro like everyone else? As he was running from the Honeypot Prairie Boys Outhouse, where he'd gone to wipe some stray throw-up off the tail of his uncle's coonskin hat. Of course Joey Fields was on the same team as Stuart and Patrick and Cheyenne and Brittany and Mary Kay and all those people who'd been laughing at him all morning during the bus ride. Because, of course, Joey hadn't broken the rules and traded, which meant he was going to get tortured for the rest of the day, unless there was someone there to stop it. It was all just so typical. And, of course, I'm the one who had to turn around and look just in time to see this. Wait, I heard myself say to Rosemary. She glanced over her shoulder. What? I realized how crazy what I was about to say was going to sound to her. I mean, Joey wasn't my boyfriend. I didn't even really like him as a friend. He barked instead of talked half the time. What did I care if he got picked on all day? But I couldn't help remembering the promise I'd made to myself on the way up the steps to Mark's room the night before, that I'd become a more responsible person if Musy turned out to be okay. Well, Musy had turned out to be okay, even if he was still inside the wall. And here was my first chance to be a more responsible person. I couldn't break the rules and trade teams with Rosemary, and I definitely couldn't do it if it meant leaving Joey all alone with so many people who were just going to be mean to him. Because that wasn't what a responsible person, a truly responsible person, would do. Never mind, I heard myself saying to Rosemary. It was like my mouth was possessed by someone else. I guess I don't want to trade after all. Okay, whatever, Rosemary said, shaking her head. Then she went to go join Sophie and the other members of Team Illini, who were probably going to have the best, funnest day of all time. It was probably going to be like the Dinosphere, Space Quest, and Barbie exhibit all rolled into one. While my own day was going to be like sitting in the principal's office with Mrs. Jones, the administrative assistant, drawing dog pictures. My own head hanging, I dragged myself over to Team Shawnee. Really, Stinkle? What are you doing? Your first field trip ever, and you're willingly sticking yourself on the same team as the boy who threw up on the bus, your two most mortal enemies, your ex-best friend, and Scott Stampley? This was your chance, Stinkle. Your chance to escape the daily grind, to find your spiritual path, to go on a walkabout. And you blew it. What's wrong with you? I didn't know. All I knew was Joey was my responsibility. Mrs. Hunter had stuck me in the back row for a reason, to be a positive influence. Just because room 209 was on a field trip didn't mean I could take a walkabout from that. Which was when I realized, with a sigh, that I was never going to go on a walkabout. Because taking a walkabout when someone needs you is just about the most irresponsible thing you can do. That was totally a rule. As I walked over to Team Shawnee, pulling off my apron and my flannel nightgown as I went, because it was getting hot out, the schoolteacher lady was trying to get everyone on Team Shawnee to be quiet by clapping her hands and going, "All right now, children, boys and girls. Now, children, we have a lot to learn today. Let's all be quiet so I can tell you about the wonders of Honeypot." Oh, brother. Did this lady have a lot to learn about kids from modern times? What she really needed was a giant touchpad screen, or maybe some animatronic dinosaurs. Or Barbie. Brittany was saying in her snottiest voice, "So, my parents are significant donors to the town community theater. You probably don't know this, but my father owns the local BMW dealership. So anyway, my mother just called the box office and said, 'Listen, if you don't get the costume department to loan my daughter and her friends costumes from last year's production of Oklahoma, we're going to pull our support.' And the next thing we knew, an intern brought over these totally adorable costumes." Meanwhile, Cheyenne was saying to Brittany in just as snotty a voice, not even listening to her, "Well, I told my mother when she called her friend in the retail costume rental business that of course I wanted a parasol. With matching fingerless lace mittens, why wouldn't I want that? I mean, only poor girls didn't have fingerless lace mittens to match their parasols." While this conversation, to which Mary Kay was paying rapt attention, was going on, Scott and his friend Paul were bent over their Nintendos going, "Yeah, die! No, you die! No, you! No, you! No, you!" Meanwhile, Stuart and Patrick were kicking up swirls of dirt from the parking lot. The dust clouds were floating over toward Joey Fields, who was bent down trying to tie his shoes. "Hey, Chuck," Stuart was saying. Kick, kick. "How's the water, Chuck? Any dust storms coming, Chuck?" "Ha ha," Joey Fields said, coughing from all the dirt. "That's really funny, guys." "What's that, Chuck?" Patrick said, laughing and kicking dirt. "What did you say, Upchuck?" "Children," the schoolteacher lady was saying, clapping in a more frantic way, "if you don't behave, we won't have time to play pom-pom pull away." That's when I came walking up. In my reading on how to be a great actress, sometimes I alternate and read about how to be a great veterinarian, since I want to be one of those, too. I've learned that it's important to make a big entrance. That's why I took my backpack, into which I'd stuffed my wadded-up nightgown and apron, along with my notebook of rules, and threw it down as hard as I could into the dirt next to where Stuart and Patrick were standing. This made a satisfyingly loud noise. It also caused a large amount of dust to rise up into the air, making Stuart and Patrick cough. Oh no! I made a very big oops shrug with my shoulders, like I hadn't meant for this to happen. Sorry. This is called acting. I wasn't lying. There's a difference between lying and acting. Some people don't understand that, such as Cheyenne. She came marching over to me, her hands on her corseted waist. "You did that on purpose, Allie Finkel," she said, "and you know it." "No, I didn't," I said, making my eyes all wide and innocent looking. "My backpack just slipped out of my hand." "Well, I don't believe you," Cheyenne said. "I think you purposefully threw your backpack down to the ground to get Stuart and Patrick all dirty because you're upset about them calling Joey names."
"Probably considering that he's her boyfriend," Mary Kay said in a loud whisper with another one of her "I'm sorry, but not really" smiles.
I really wish that Mary Kay had been standing a little closer to the dirt when I'd slammed my backpack down.
"Really, Allie? That's very immature," Brittany said. "These costumes have to be professionally cleaned, you know."
"Children," the schoolteacher lady said, clapping her hands some more. "Please, if you don't stop this bickering, we won't have time for..." "Yeah," Patrick said. "You're not the boss of us, Allie Stinkel."
"No," said a voice behind us. "She isn't, but I M."
And we all turned to see Mrs. Hunter, her green eyes crackling with anger.